I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Children have been sexually assaulted by human traffickers under the Biden administration.
Senator, this is precisely why we instituted...
I don't want a lecture. It's a question. How many children have been sexually assaulted by human traffickers under your administration?
Senator, this is exactly why on January 5th we announced
Do you know how many? Do you know how many children have been sexually assaulted?
This is why we...
Okay, you're going to refuse to answer that question as well. Let's move on. It's obvious you've been instructed to stonewall, so I'm not going to let you. You don't get to stonewall and filibuster.
Good, good. That's Senator Ted Cruz telling... our Alejandro Mayorkas, Director of Department of Homeland Security. What a joke. You're not going to filibuster. You're going to answer my question, yes or no. And what is the number? You know it or you don't know it? March 29, 2023. Glad to have you listening again and joining us. I got to tell you, Mayorkas must be cowering under his desk even now as I speak, because Senator Cruz put him to the test repeatedly. And you got to keep in mind, as far as the White House, Department of Homeland Security, they look at all this as just a game. And if we just don't say anything, maybe it'll just go away. Senator Cruz again.
Is there a crisis at our southern border?
Senator, there is a very significant...
That's a yes or no question.
There's a very significant...
Is there a crisis?
Senator, there's a very significant challenge.
I think your microphone is not on.
There is a very significant challenge that we are facing.
Yes or no, is there a crisis?
I believe I've addressed that question.
So you're refusing to answer.
Senator, there is a very significant challenge. And
will you answer if there's a crisis?
Therefore, we are dedicating the resources.
Okay, so you're refusing to answer.
And on it goes. This is the way they're playing the game. Oh, I'm glad you asked that question. Or I'll take it in another direction. Answer the question put in front of you. Senator Cruz had Mayorkas on that stand, and I'm telling you, if he continued pressing him, I think the man might have disappeared inside his suit.
So you're refusing to answer. Well, Secretary Mayorkas, I'll tell you someone who is willing to answer, which is your and President Biden's chief of the Border Patrol in a sworn deposition in July of 2022 when asked, would you agree, Chief Ortiz, that the southern border is currently in crisis? Answer, yes. Notice none of those wiggle words, none of that equivocation. One word, one syllable, yes. Are you willing to speak with the same clarity as Chief Ortiz? Is there a crisis at our southern border, yes or no?
Senator, I'm very proud to work alongside.
So you refuse to answer. Let me ask you the next question. Has the crisis at our southern border made Americans less safe, yes or no?
Senator, we are dedicated to the safety.
Has the crisis made Americans less safe? I don't want a discourse. It's a yes or no question.
Senator, we have a challenge of...
You refuse to answer the question. Mr. Secretary, let me show you how someone doing his job answers a question in a straightforward manner. Chief Ortiz, is the crisis that is currently ongoing at the southern border making the border less safe for Americans and aliens alike? Answer, yes. One word, one syllable, three letters. That's how someone answers a question and does their job.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right. And you have to keep in mind, all these illegals that we have coming across, they're not just those looking for a better job. They're not necessarily escaping and looking for asylum. Some are possibly coming here to do us harm. Chinese spies could be crossing the border. We do know that there are numerous one-way flight tickets purchased out of China, arriving in Mexico City or elsewhere, moving them. They don't have to start all the way down at the Golden Triangle of Honduras, Nicaragua, and so we're trying to come north. They can get almost to our border by flying in from China. We've already been warned that more than 100 on no-fly list have been caught at the border identified as terrorists. We've also been warned terrorists could strike the U.S. without warning within 6 months, and yet you are being warned. And then, of course, you have the TikTok China-owned company spying on Americans. Some Democrats are concerned, but AOC and the Squad and others So I don't see an issue. Same kind of response from New York Congressman Jamal Bowman.
I haven't seen any evidence that shows me as a member of Congress that these countries have been, China or any other country, has been a bad actor in this space in this way, except Russians' interference in our 2016 election, yeah. And that happened on Facebook. And there was no conversation at that point about banning Facebook, selling Facebook, breaking up Facebook.
A lot but of people deleted Facebook.
correct, right? But still, not enough. But now we have this consistent fear-mongering, starting with the Republican Party, and now many Democrats are sort of catching on around China and around their access to our data. But just this overall sort of global competition with China in all its forms. And, you know, that's how Republicans govern. That's how this place works way too often around fear. Let's take a step back and have a comprehensive conversation about social media, about addiction, about monopolies, about time on the apps, and about safety and security of our data.
Yeah. I'm all about that. But, of course, he just had to work in Russian collusion at Facebook. But then in this interview in a good environment with Chuck Todd, feeling safe, he says the unspeakable for Democrats.
Here's what I think we're also losing sight of. 150 million Americans are on TikTok right now. 5 million businesses are on TikTok. People use TikTok to earn a living. 150 million Americans, many of them young people, many of them tend to lean Democratic. So if the Democratic Party is a part of shutting down a platform that they have used to build community and to be in a space where they are often accepted and connected with others in a space where they don't get that on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, it can harm us politically in 2024.
Boom, there it is. Many of those on TikTok lean left, and it can hurt us politically if we ban it. There's your real story. Coming up, we're going to review the Nashville school shooting and how the officers reacted and praised them for that, by the way. If they had hesitated at all, more lives could have been lost. And also going to be joined by James J. Carafano from the Heritage Foundation. We are in a new Cold War with China. James has specific details and what needs to be done. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, and my guest we haven't had on for a long time, so I'm really glad to have him back on board, James Carafano, the Heritage Foundation. James, glad to have you back, sir.
Hey, great to be with you.
Well, I tell you what, I was taking notice of some things that you were already looking at anyway, and that's we're looking more and more like we're going to have a Cold War with China, in fact, already underway. I've had numerous guests on here saying the same thing, but I noticed a piece you had put together for the Heritage Foundation and others about a report you released just yesterday, correct, that the U.S. is now in a new Cold War with China. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, Cold Wars aren't new. Even before a Cold War with the Soviet Union, there were Cold Wars. But what is true is this is a new Cold War, which means these are two adversaries who are intent on going after each other by every means short of an all-out kinetic war. And what the report does is it says, look, this is how to fight it, and this is how to win it. And what's important about this is it's a plan. It's not recommendations. It's not a strategy. It says, look, here's a to-do list. We went through and identified all the things we need to do to deal with China. And it's not just about protecting ourselves with China. It also includes going after the Chinese to take them down so they don't really have the capability to go after us. And it's not just, well, these are things Congress to do. There's stuff in there that state and local governments need to do, civil society, the private sector, corporate boards, NGOs, and our friends and allies. And so it's incredibly comprehensive.
All right, yeah, and we won't have time, obviously, for all of it. So yeah. I encourage people to go to the Heritage Foundation and look at it in detail. But I think a lot of people that were suddenly became aware just how dangerous and how intent China is on spying on us, not just the TikTok thing, which is still being debated, right. But when the balloon crossed our nation, and we were told, I want your opinion on this. We were told by our Pentagon that, well, we blocked it from sending any messages direct to China in real time. And then, of course, we shot it down over the ocean, retrieved the payload, and we know what they had or did not have. Do you believe that story?
Well, I think all that's feasible. But what is also true is they knew the balloon was coming. They knew the day it was launched in China.
Yep.
They hid that information. They had no intention of telling anybody because they wanted to send Blinken to China to negotiate with the Chinese. Even though they knew that Chinese were sending a balloon that was going to violate airspace, attempt to collect nuclear targeting data against the United States. And their response to that was, well, we don't want to admit that. We'd rather send Tony Blinken over. Even though we know that Blinken is like 0-for-5 with the Chinese, that they just think he's shipping stock. And then, to me what's most telling is, When the news leaked, what did they do? They panicked.
Yeah.
They're screaming around. They're shooting down, you know, balloons just floating around in the sky because they don't know what to do. We look like a bunch of yahoos.
Well, you got that right, and I can start with the top yahoo in the Oval Office. But when you start talking about what we're going to do to prepare for this, you mentioned, for instance, civilians or corporations, businesses.
Right.
Give me a couple of points there.
Yeah. So one of the things we talked about is corporate boards, which are responsible for the governance and policy directions of major corporations. And we said, you know, if you want to be responsible to your shareholders and your customer and to your notion of you're an American company, you need to look at who's on your board. And then they ought to be able, people that are understand what the risks are dealing with China. You know, the old days when it's just, we'll buy it from China because it's cheap. Well, that just doesn't cut it anymore because a lot more goes into risk than what the lowest cost is. It's like, you know, who goes to the used car lot and buys the cheap, I guess maybe a lot of people do, buy the cheapest car they can for their kid. Like, here's a junker. I mean, I think most parents would say, well, yeah, I'd like to get a car cheap for my kid because they're probably going to bang it up anyway, but I'd like them to live, right? So I think I might look at safety. I might look at how much it's going to cost to run the car. I just wouldn't say, give me the cheapest car. So who the heck is going to – nobody should be doing business in China realizing there are risks to doing business other than just how much it costs. As a matter of fact, today, the Chinese companies act – the Chinese government, people that have done business in China, when they try to get their money out of China, the Chinese are saying, no, you can't do that. Or they're stealing intellectual property or a whole bunch of other activities. So – corporate boards need to be smart about this, and even individual stockholders have the right to ask, you know, what are you doing about this? Do you really know what the risks of China are? You'd be shocked at how many corporations and corporate boards that I speak to, and they are ignorant of property stuff. Yeah.
Are they ignorant, or they just don't focus on that? They're all woke. They're all woke. They want to focus on where do we put our money for ESG. Environmental issues.
We see a lot of both. We saw this, for example, with this Silicon Bank that failed in California.
Right.
They were so obsessed about ESG policies. Matter of fact, the same thing. You know, the crypto guy that just got arrested for fraud, whose company had a perfect ESG score for governance, right? They were the most enlightened governing body in the country, in their company. And of course, but they didn't even know where the money was in their company. I mean, come on.
Yeah. You know, you had Marco Rubio speaking to you guys recently, as you brought out this winning the new Cold War with China. And he made a remark that he said, we may have pretended history was over and the nation state no longer mattered, but China never got that memo. And he says that we need to, in this Cold War with China, we need to begin by restoring faith, community, and industry. Same points you made, but also bringing in addition to community and industry. How big of an issue is that?
Well, we talk about a lot of that in our report. We talk a lot about the economy, that if you think we're going to defeat China by hamstringing our economy with adding trillions and trillions of dollars of public debt every month, putting out ridiculous things that hamstring the ability of people to create jobs, create energy. Energy is one of the things that we really, really focus on, the importance of American energy independence. You cannot do that. This is the guy that's going to fight Rocky Balboa, and he spent 6 months eating donuts and watching television and think he's going to walk in the room, you know, and come out a winner. I mean, it doesn't work that way. And tomorrow we're putting out another report, State of Military Readiness, and we're looking at, you know, for example, things like the fact that 70% of American youth aren't qualified for military service because of all kinds of reasons about the lack to raise our children in this country. And then we turn around and the kids that do want to join, we subject them again to all the ESG houses. You know, the one I can't go to bed at now without just tearing my hair out is that the military academies actually wanted to train cadets to not call their parents mom and dad because it might be offensive to them.
Yeah, yeah. And the DEI has absolutely destroyed the military from inside out. I'm also looking at the meeting between Xi and Putin the other day, and I know they still look at each other warily, but it's kind of keep your friends close and your enemies closer, it looks like, and we're the prime enemy.
Well, you know, we also address that in this report is incredibly complicated. 100 different items in the report, and every one of them we say, this is the problem, this is what you have to do, this is how you do it, this will be the consequences, the impact of doing it, and this is what it means to friends and allies. But one of them is that we specifically look at Russia-China relationship and say, okay, how can we prevent this from being a threat to us? And we specifically go into that. So I think folks will just, you know, they'll read it and they'll see some of the stuff like banning TikTok and other things, but they will have never seen everything put all in one place as comprehensively as it is. And I'm sure they will see things that they never even knew were an issue. You know, illegal fishing, for an example, the Chinese are destroying the world's ecosystems. They're going to starve many developing nations. Literally raping the seas with illegal fishing.
We've also pointed out how much money and investment they put into South America, now into Africa. Right. I mean, they're building outposts. It's almost like the British Empire all over again. The sun's never going to set on China at this point.
And everywhere they're going, they're destroying people's lives and prosperity. And it does come back and impact us. You know, not to say that we're the world's babysitter or the world's policeman or the world's anything. You know, we would have to know for our interests, but what the Chinese are doing is rampaging, and some of these things come back. And so what we say is, what makes sense to do? What is practical? What's feasible? What's reasonable? What's suitable? Which will actually affect things? And then that's what we're going to do the report. So I'm really, really proud of what we did.
So tell me this. I know the Chinese are already upset because Taiwanese officials are going to meet with Congresswoman McCarthy, House Speaker, sometime later this week, next week, I should say, and they're already making noise over it.
So there's a difference. This is a really important question, because as we look at Taiwan, the interesting thing is we both have a vital interest in Taiwan. Our vital interest between the Chinese and the United States, and the reason why we've never had a conflict is because we've accepted this kind of ambiguous place that doesn't violate either of our interests. Our interest is that the Chinese never take Taiwan, because it's a geostrategic risk to us. Long explanation. The Chinese vital interest is the number one thing they won't stand is an independent Taiwan. That's an independent nation, independent from China. And so we've both kind of survived in this relationship because neither of us have tried to do that. And why that's important is there are real red lines. The real red lines for the Chinese are they will never accept Taiwan independence, and they will never accept U.S. forces on Taiwan to defend Taiwan. Those are, I think, those are their two red lines.
In the last couple of minutes, I mean, China wants to see Russia defeat Ukraine. They say they want to look for a peace settlement, but they really don't, do they?
No.
And they will look at that as a launch point for them to go to Taiwan?
Well, no, because they know that we will fight against them taking Taiwan. And this is what's really important. Their red line is, as long as Taiwan doesn't declare independence, they're probably going to live with the status quo. You know, they would like to take Taiwan, but that's their red line. And the reason why I say that is we say, you're sending the secretary or whatever to speak to him in the House speaker, and that's just them blustering. That's not really the threat for World War III.
One final question. I mean, we can't even get Democrats to agree that TikTok is dangerous and a spy tool. How are we going to ever convince them that China is trying to do other things?
Well, I think Americans have to realize why aren't they doing this? One is there are a lot of people that get a lot of money from China. The other one is a lot of Democrats are afraid to drop TikTok. So young people love TikTok. Yeah. You know, we don't want them not to vote for us. So you're telling me that in order to placate some kid wanting to, you know, look at their cat videos on TikTok, you're willing to compromise the United States of America?
And their answer is yes.
Right.
James, as always, I thank you for your time, sir. We'll do it again.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
You bet. James J. Carafano, Heritage Foundation. You go to the Heritage Foundation, see the full report on the new Cold War with China. There were some dropouts in the signal. His phone was in and out, but it was too critical and too much detail an issue we needed to stay with, so we decided we'd live with it. I'm sure you got the gist of it. James J. Carafano. Ackerman Toyota wishing you a great 2023, but Jay Ackerman knows that times are tough for some. So Jay has a mission to help charities that truly make a difference. Food banks, veterans groups, charities battling cancer, head injuries. Jay wants to give back to the community. So I personally ask you to consider his mission when you're shopping for a car. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
They didn't hesitate at all. They responded, immediately went inside, knew the danger that was going on. Shots were being fired at the police cars. That did not deter them. They went anyway inside. And really, we could have been talking about a lot more casualties than what we have. It's a very unfortunate, the six victims, but we could be talking about a very high number. I want to praise the men and women of our department, especially the two officers who put their lives at risk, not thinking about their own safety and just thinking about the safety of those inside that school.
We have played that for you previously, and I know you've heard it elsewhere, but it's worth hearing again. That is Chief John Drake, the Nashville Metro Police Chief, talking about how his officers responded to the Nashville Covenant school shooting yesterday. They did not hesitate, and that made a difference in how many were killed. As officers arrived, one teacher was meeting them outside, saying, "The building's locked down, but we got two students missing." and we have kids upstairs. So the officers start running into the building. The shooter had already posted a message with a friend saying that I'm planning to die today. Had not contacted that friend for years. So the friend asked her father, what should I do about this? Said, you need to call the sheriff's office, which she did. Calling at 10:13, about the same time the department received its first 911 call about an active shooter. The caller wanting to report this was held on the line for 7 minutes before she could get a dispatcher. Possibly the dispatcher was already involved with the school shooting. A review of what happened, the custodian, Mike Hill, was the first to be shot as the shooter opened fire at the glass door, shooting the glass out so this transgender shooter could climb through the glass, killing the 61-year-old, known to the school students as Big Mike. His daughter wrote on her Facebook, my dad loved his work at that school. And, of course, the minutes followed, 3 children were killed and 2 more adults. 10:18, the shooter is seen on surveillance footage walking along the hallways. Fire alarm lights are going off. Shooter aiming an assault-type weapon, if you want to call it that, around. 6 minutes later, police enter to the sound of the alarms. The sound of gunfire in the hallways. One said, I think it's coming from upstairs, so the officers rush upstairs where they encounter the shooter in a second-floor lobby. At 10:27, keep in mind, the first call to police, 10:13. At 10:27, one officer fired 4 rounds at the shooter. The shooter collapses. Another officer steps forward, letting off more rounds, shouting, stop moving. Now, I know there will be some that will hear and see some of the video that say, why did they have to keep shooting? They're already down. You don't know. And secondly, put yourself in that position. If you know somebody's gone inside a school and shot and terrorized children, don't tell me not to continue shooting. If I think they're still moving, I'm going to shoot anyway. One of the officers then gets on the screaming into the radio, suspect down, hold the air. They request to stop all unnecessary radio traffic so they can communicate. 2 of the 9-year-olds, of course, found dead, and the other. One of them, the daughter of the Covenant Presbyterian Church lead pastor. And one of the faculty members was a substitute teacher who was going to have dinner with the wife of the Republican Tennessee governor that night after she finished doing substitute teaching at the school. And the other was the school administrator, and she ran toward the gunman. Had no way to stop him, but she ran toward him, and she was shot dead. This happening just days before Trans Day of Vengeance. A Trans Day of Vengeance is still slated for Saturday morning in front of the U.S. Supreme Court in D.C. Despite the timing, there's nothing to say this all ties together, but would it not be wise not to hold it? They don't care. They're going to hold it. But I'll tell you this, if you put anything on it about on Twitter about the Trans Day of Vengeance, you're going to find out that Twitter will shut you off. In fact, here's an example. Since Musk has taken over Twitter, things have gotten better, but there's still a swampy area, and Musk can't watch over everything all the time, and some of the captains he's put in charge apparently are not able to either, or they're doing against his bidding of making it a free and open speech forum. For instance, the CEO of Federalist, Sean Davis, was locked out of his Twitter account last night because he had factually reported on the Trans Day of Vengeance following the deaths of 3 children, 3 staff members at that Christian school in Tennessee, shot dead by a former transgender student, former student who is now identifying as a transgender. What he wrote, the cold-blooded mass murder at a Christian school in Nashville by an apparent transgender person came just days before he planned Trans Day of Vengeance, organized by the Trans Radical Activist Network. That's all fact. It's a fact. Well, according to Twitter, Davis's objectively true tweet violates the rules against violent speech. Shooting the kids apparently would not be considered violent speech, but talking about the Transgender Day of Activist or Vengeance. So his account is locked and said it will remain locked until he manually deletes that item. So far, he's refusing to participate in shutting it down. As he said in a statement, this is a deliberate censorship, gaslighting designed to memory hole the fact that the Nashville shooter targeted and murdered Christian children and teachers just days ahead of a scheduled Trans Day of Vengeance. Twitter is lying about the facts and defaming some of us who reported on them. He's not the only one to be censored on Tuesday. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene and the Daily Wire journalist Rosiak also punished for reporting on the Trans Day of Vengeance. I reported on it as well. I don't think I mentioned it in a Twitter. Maybe I should try that. What do you think? According to Twitter's head of trust and safety, Ella Irwin, which I assume she reports directly to Musk, and he should be seeing this and he should be in her face asking, what the hell are you doing? This is supposed to be a forum for free speech. And what he said is true, and it's not violent, it's not inciting violence, simply stating a fact. But she said, we did this to automatically sweep our platform and remove 5,000 tweets, retweets of the Trans Day of Vengeance poster. In other words, we're actually trying to protect you from the Trans Day of Vengeance. But Davis didn't share a poster with his statement. He simply linked to a Daily Wire News story about the topic, and it did include the poster as part of its journalism. But again, this L. Irwin, who's overseeing this, saying, we do not support tweets that incite violence, irrespective of who posts them. Well, I'd go along with that if you're actually doing it on a consistent basis and a fair, unbiased basis. I've taken note that previously a guest we often have on here has also been locked out for some time. Federalist John Daniel Davidson locked out for a full year because he said the biological fact that Rachel Levine, Biden administration transgender assistant, Secretary for Health, is a man. That's a fact. And they locked him out. Yeah, that's a fact.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So put this on your calendar. May the 1st, Napoli C will open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. Napoli C will have the finest seafood, lobster, crab, caviar. May 1st, Napoli C opens on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3, which is also open for lunch and on Sundays. You can find me at Cafe Napoli. In Clayton, Town and Country, Streets of St. Charles, and then May 1st, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Dr. Joe Biden's husband. And I ate Jenny's ice cream, chocolate chip. I came down because I heard there was chocolate chip ice cream. By the way, I have a whole refrigerator full upstairs. I think I'm kidding. No, I'm not.
Not only that, he's telling a very sick joke in the face of a tragedy. I let you hear it yesterday more than once, and it still has been deep in my mind and my soul of what Joe Biden did yesterday when he came down to meet these folks who had gathered at the White House for another event. He was already aware. When he walked into the room, he was aware of the Nashville shooting at the Christian school. Three kids killed, three adults. Kids 9 years of age, one of the adults, the principal of the school, another substitute teacher, another the custodian, which, by the way, this should have no bearing, but it would have been if it had been at a, quote, black school. Maybe Joe would have changed his approach, a black Christian school, but the custodian was black. But Joe comes down, and he's already kind of thought, I'm going to liven this group up. I'm going to tell them a joke about chocolate chip ice cream. And then he got around to discussing the tragedy that had happened. He was already aware of the fact, and he just dismissed it. And then later makes an impassioned plea for we need more gun control. We need to be aware of what's going on. He's not aware. More and more Democrats are falling away from them. They cannot defend this kind of behavior, nor should they even try. Continue to pray and grieve for the community that lost those children and adults in that shooting, as we do with every shooting. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.